Mattias Ribbing is a three-time Swedish memory champion and one of only 122 people in the world who have been awarded the title of Grand Master of Memory. He is a leading memonist, educator, and brain trainer in Sweden, and his memory is officially ranked as the 75th best in the world. Here is our conversation together about powerful visualization and manifestation techniques at this past Bulletproof Biohacking Conference.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you, Max?
Good, good. So how do traditional memorization techniques differ from the methods that you, promote?
Well, there are the ancient old techniques, yes, where you're going to build palaces of mental imagery and so on. The problem with these are that they are far too difficult to get started with, and they're not really going to the point. Because nowadays you know much more about the brain and what is important for memory and so on. And what I do is I focus 100% on visualization.
Okay.
Training the brain to see images. And the good thing with that is that it can become something automatical for the brain. So if you train it for a while, the brain learns to see images and it comes up spontaneously. So apart from the age-old traditions where you have to create mental stories and it needs a lot of effort,
right.
It can't get automatized,
yeah.
And it's too difficult to imagine a big, strange room, palaces, you can't start with that. But if you start with training the brain for the basics, seeing images, and start with the rooms that you're actually in at the moment, you can take it more step by step and doing the most efficient creating the most efficient connections in the brain, because that's what memory and learning is all about, creating
so
the right connections.
Can you walk me through kind of what a basic visualization process is for you?
Yeah, it's anything, any kind of information that I need to store in my brain, and because I store information consciously.
Right.
So any information that I want to store, it's still something I choose to do, I turn it into images.
Okay.
And I never need to focus on what I take the first thing that comes to mind for an image, for example, if there's a lot of names, for example,
mm-hmm.
Max, your name, that becomes it's a kind of brand of soda pop, you know.
Okay.
So I immediately see a can of that because
uh-huh.
That's what was the first thing that popped up in my brain. When sitting at a lecture, for example, I want to memorize it. I listen to what is said, and I let the brain create the images of it. It can just be anything. These images, they work like clues for the brain.
To recall on.
Yeah, exactly. So then I have all these images, because the brain can take in. If you use images, the brain is like opening up a great gateway to the brain. It can
right.
take in a lot of information like that. So I listen and just watch, just see like an inner documentary movie.
So while somebody is lecturing, for say, you will actually take the words and turn them into a visual story.
Yeah, and not all the words, just the key concepts.
Key concepts.
Yeah, so it's nothing that you have to don't do a lot, because this, when you give the brain, for each concept, the concepts, you give them some images.
So let's
then the brain will tie all sorts of information to that.
So let's say I want to really imprint that concept that of increasing my memorization and concentration skills right now.
Yeah.
Would I then just imagine that as a concept and give it an image?
Yeah, very quickly. You talk about memory, for example, for me, then it's an image of a photo album.
Okay.
Something
yeah.
that was just published. That can be, and that's my image clue for that. And then you talk about how to train the memory. And if I have an active image in my mind, that will tie information to it. And then you might move on to the next thing. You might talk about focus or something. Training focus. Focus for me would take an image like a funnel to
okay.
fill up bottles
yes.
of water, because
yeah.
that's actually how our focus is working.
Right.
Then I have that active in my mind.
You connect those two?
Yeah, I can do that. I can do it. Then you become more and more advanced after some time. Then you can exactly connect anything to these images.
So would you connect the funnel to the photo album? Kind of like
yeah, you can do that.
Connecting
exactly.
those two concepts. Okay. when you think of Max, you have a certain image that comes with it, right? Would that image, what if you have that same image that relates to Max to a different concept?
Like that's no problem. The fun thing is that our words are limited. There's a definite amount of words, but images are unlimited. So what I do is I create a variation of the image.
Oh, okay.
I can do a can made of chocolate cut in half.
Okay.
Or a green one made of plastic, it's twisted in
some way. So it's a different, slightly different.
So then I can
image.
Just create an easy variation, very spontaneously.
So it's not the same image, necessarily.
Not necessarily. Yeah. If you can always vary. Stuff. So the basic thing is that I've taught my brain to spontaneously brainstorm in images.
Right.
So after a while, I don't. In the beginning, it demands focus. You really have to push forward to get the image.
To expand.
After a while, the brain gets the hang of it and continues.
And how long do these does this information retain?
For me, as a trained advancedly a lot for this, I can decide for exactly how long I want my memories
while creating
to last. No, that I do actually, because I know when I create connections between images. I know for certain that it will be stick in my mind for at least 5 hours. That's I know my memory that good. So, so if I want something stored longer than that, I have a certain kind of mental review techniques. I know within 5 hours, I do a quick browsing through of my images.
And that strengthens.
Yeah, exactly. So that's really quick. It goes super quick. No need for words. It's like browsing images on a smartphone.
Right.
It's
just really the collection.
Quick. Yeah. So I do that, and then I know if I do that within 5 hours, I know the information will be with me for the whole next day.
Right.
If I want it longer, I do a quick review, then it will stay with me for maybe 3 more days. So it's pain in the beginning, then the memories get stronger and stronger than that.
So the longer you repeat it over a week or even certain times, you could keep it longer and longer, just by a quick review.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay. And do you incorporate feeling?
No, not really.
No?
So this is... That would take also, again, too much effort.
Right.
So what is needed for the brain is the image. There are great research that has been done on what kind of images also that stick in your brain for the longest time. So it's important to use images with clear contours. Contours, for example, that's an important thing. So,
So for example, you're a master of memorization and concentration, but what if people want to forget? Or they want to erase things.
Yeah.
You know, how do you erase things that maybe happened to you when you were a little kid that was traumatic, for example, or transform that?
One thing is that because each time we think back on a memory, it gets stronger.
Right.
It might also change a little bit, but it gets stronger.
Right.
So when going over things again, that won't help us forget it.
Right.
It's quite the opposite.
Right.
The key word, as you said, was transformation, to transform that connection into something new, something positive. You have to deal with it. You can't brush it also under the carpet, but you need to deal with it and tie something more productive to it. It's a way out of that. So
a positive meaning.
Yeah, and that's hopefully what is done is in really good therapies, that's what done. They override old connections in the brain with new productive ones so you can move on. So there are many techniques for that.
Right. I overheard you talking about categorizing things like folders and subfolders.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit more about that, how you store information if you want to access it later?
Yeah, that's what happens when you get into the advanced visualization training, that you can actually control the storage of information in the brain just like you do on a computer. Mm-hmm. So after that you do like... main folders and then subfolders into different areas, and you can access it, or you just quickly go into the right folder in the brain.
Right.
And that's all with
visualization.
Because with these images, for example, you can do a great many things. For example, just have the image of a soda can.
Right.
I always visualize the big. The images have to be big, then your visualization skills get better.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can zoom into different parts of the images, play different stuff on there, zoom in different parts of the can, and create like subfolders in a way. So that is the, you can do that in a very controlled and structured way after you started training for a while.
And we were talking about how to transform things that don't serve us from the past, let's say, right? And there's folders maybe in the unconscious that are fear-based, right? So how do you overcome fear?
Yeah, this, of course, you have to find good therapeutic techniques in different ways. There's no, but you can also use these kinds of visualization skills when you want to get over some fear, for example, fear of speaking in public.
Right.
You can, what you can use is you create, you take an image from something where you feel really, a place where you feel really positive and relaxed, maybe you like fishing. So you intensely, you have your friend image of a fishing rod, for example.
Right.
You work on that, you have that visualized, and quickly when you go about to go on stage, you do a little visualization about this, and then something will happen that not pulls you down into the fear just as bad as before. So there are many things. Visualization is a key aspect, you know, that also science has proven that all persons actually think in images, even if we don't believe we do.
Right.
So we are so used to this kind of thinking image that we're not aware of it many times. But now if we can start to use it consciously, to consciously create images, we can control how the brain stores information and how connections are made in the brain to make us react in different ways also.
Right, and you talk about conscious creation, right? That's only possible in the present moment, right?
Yeah.
Can you talk about the importance of that being here now?
Yeah, that is the key. You can never go back to something you missed when you were not present, so presence is the first thing.
Right.
It's got to do with focus and concentration, of course.
Right.
And this is also, the fun thing is that this kind of memory training or visualization training, it's like a skeletal key for all brain training, because this also helps focus. If you know what to focus on, it's a lot easier to focus. So
right.
I know, for example, if I want to learn something, my focus is always towards mental imagery, mental images. So that also helps you to keep the focus at a specific place, and that makes the focus stronger.
Right.
So you can keep it for a longer time, you gain mental stamina, and you get more efficient.
What is one quick biohack people can do to increase their concentration and focus at home, you know?
Yeah. Well, you can focus on one thing that is important in your life and create a mental image of it, a mental image, symbol, three-dimensional, big, concrete image, and then work on that. Work on your visualization with that which represents the most important thing in your life at that moment. That's a good way of making it concrete.
And make it attractive to you.
Yeah. And so that also, this is like a kind of meditation. You know,
right, yeah.
You keep your focus on one image, and the images just happen to be the most efficient way for the mind to store information. So.
And what is the importance of, you know, you talk about creating a symbol in your mind through these images. What's the importance of letting go of those images? Does that play a role in helping retain them, or is it something that...
Yeah, since this is all the controlled skill, the skill is exactly the same that we learn to store information on paper by learning how to write and use a pen.
Right.
So this has become automatized after a while. You never now need to think about how to write.
Right.
I never need to think how to write in my brain because the images come, but I still have to decide to do it.
Right.
So just because you know how to write on paper, it doesn't mean that you go around write everything you think and everything you see. You decide when to do it.
Right.
So this is the same thing. Seeing in images, it's become second nature, but I still decide when I want to do it consciously or not, or just drop it off. Relaxation is, of course, an extremely important facet of life. And focus and all that stuff.
And you've researched all this stuff, you've been doing all this concentration, memorization work. What are you excited about now? Like, what are you moving? What kind of things are you, what kind of concepts are you exploring now?
Yeah, personally, since this is a skill that I now have, and it's get better all the time, but just using it in everyday life, I don't need so much specific training. I've done, you know, a lot. Was in memory competitions and did these like extreme tests and stuff. So, but now very interesting also how nutrition plays into the role and how the one helps the other and really living a present life and getting the maximum out of whatever it is I or anyone want to do. So that's interesting. And I also want to get these messages out to it, because this can help students in schools. And I wish that I had heard something like this when I was in school.
Right.
I could do much better to learn.
Right.
Because it's a playful thing. It's a playful technique. It's not boring and dull. It doesn't, you know, the techniques that are actually taught in school is just read the same thing over and over and over and hope that you will remember. That's total boredom. So I want to get the message out and help people get people started training and all that stuff. And have fun.
And just to wrap this up real quick, what do you feel, does visualization, you visualize yourself personally, right?
Mm-hmm.
What happens when two people visualize together, or three, or 10, or 100, or 1,000? Is there any benefits to visualizing images together?
This I basically don't know anything about. It's a super interesting area, and what happens when thoughts get focused from many people, like in a collective effort, I don't know. These are areas to be explored.
Yes, and is there anything else you want to say in general that we haven't touched on?
Well, no. If you want to go the step and train yourself to get all this, there's a great program online, which is the one that I took to really to learn the whole thing, which is called pmemory.com, and there you can really start to do the hardcore training to get all the way.
Okay, well, that's all the questions I had for you today.
Excellent,
thank you,
Max.
Yeah,
thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.